to Omar Abaye on Daf Zayin Amid Beis, which is two lines before the lines get wide. And let's just review the main highlight of last year so that we can have a soft landing for today's year. And we had a brisa on Daf Zayin Amid Beis, on our Daf, that records Machlokas Tanoim between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. The Machlokas revolves around the tzitz, which was a unique beged of Bigdei Kohuna that was worn only by the Kohen Gadol on his forehead, about which the Torah tells us that Shmos Chafches V'hoya al Metzach Aaron V'nasa Aaronis Avonom Avon HaKodshim. And then the pasuk goes on to say V'hoya al Mitzcho Tamid L'ratzon Lahem Lifnei Hashem. So this is the principle called Tzitz Meratzeh al Atuma, which means that if a korban was brought on the Mizbeach B'tuma, the tzitz generates ritui, and it basically koshers the, if you could say, kashes up the korban, even though it's betuma, and therefore this ritzi korban, the korban is maratzu, which means it's machaper and it achieves its goal. So the Braisa records a machlokas about the following question: what if the Kohen Gadol at that moment when the korban was brought, or perhaps when the korban contracted tuma, that itself is a controversy, but in any event, the Kohen Gadol was not wearing the tzitz al mitzcho. Does the tzitz have the power to be mechaper in any event? Rabbi Shimon says yes, and Rabbi Yehuda says no. And now, Abai is going to analyze, first of all, the scope of this machlokes, meaning when does it apply, when does it not apply. There are certain cases in which everybody agrees that tzitz is not meratzah if it's not al mitzvah Kohen Gadol. And more important, Abai wants to analyze which opinion derives from which pasuk. And we're going to get into a whole sugya here about how to read the psukim, and every single word of the pasuk has to be accounted for, both according to Rabbi Yehuda and according to Rabbi Shimon. Amar Abaye, bin nishbar tzitz tekuli alma lo pligi delo meratzeh. If, let's say, the tzitz is broken, the tzitz was made of gold and very thin, hammered out gold that went across the forehead of the Kohen Gadol. I think of the tzitz all the time these days because I wear what's called a magen, a shield, so I have a tzitz on top. Anyway, you don't see me wearing it now because I'm home. The tzitz, even if it doesn't have to be on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol, but it definitely has to be ra'ui, it has to be suitable to be worn by the Kohen Gadol, as opposed to the case of nishbar tzitz, if it's broken, then everybody agrees, even the mekil, meaning even Rav Shimon, who allows for the tzitz to be meratza, even if it's not being worn at that moment on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol, but it has to be ra'ui, it has to be suitable to be worn by the Kohen Gadol, as opposed to the case where it's broken. Ki pligi, and what is the scope of the machlokes? Ditoli besichta. The Kohen Gadol took a peg, that's called a sichta in the Aramaic language, in Hebrew it's called the yated. It's like a nail, and he knocked it into the wall, and he hangs the tzitz on top of the yated. The reason he did so is unclear. Presumably, there were moments in which he couldn't wear the tzitz. Maybe he wasn't in a state of total concentration, as we'll see later on. You need total concentration with a kavana, l'shem kedushas tzitz. For whatever reason, he took the tzitz and he hung it on a peg. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Rabbi Yehuda says that in such a case, the tzitz does not have the power to be meratza. The korban that was brought betumah is absolutely invalid and has to be replaced by another korban, because Rabbi Yehuda reads the pasuk, and the pasuk says, "Vaya al metzach Aaron v'nasa Aaron es avona kodshim literally translates that the tzitz has to be worn on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol, Aaron in this case. And Haya al Metzach Aaron, if and when the tzitz is worn on the forehead of Aaron, then the pasuk says, V'nasa Aaron es avona kodshim. That Aaron, as a result of the power inherent in the tzitz, is able to create a v'nasa. V'nasa means a ritzui, validating the power of the karbon, even though it's tame. Rav Shimon Savar, Rav Shimon looks at the end of the same pasuk, and it says, V'hayal mitzcho tamid, l'ratzon lahem lifnei Hashem. Now, you and I would have said, from the fact that the Torah says, tamid, that it's on his metzach tamid, which means constantly, on the contrary, this should prove and substantiate the shita Rabbi Yehuda, that it must be al mitzcho tamid. But paradoxically, Rabbi Shimon, from that word tamid, is going to draw the exact opposite conclusion. And why is that so? Because Rabbi Shimon vacillates, and he asks the following question. My tamid, what is the meaning of the word tamid here? Ilema, if you're going to tell me, this is certainly the opinion and the perspective of Rabbi Yehuda, that tamid means al mitzcho, it's got to be constantly on his metzach, in order for the tzitz to generate its power of ritzui for tuma, then mimish kachas la, could there be such a halacha that the tzitz is limited to tamid? Is anybody going to tell you that the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz tamid 24/7? That's impossible. Milo boy le meil le beis hakise, umilo boy le meinam. When the Kohen Gadol is a human being, he has to go into the washroom and relieve himself. He can't wear the tzitz with all its sanctity inside the Beis HaKiseh. Or, for example, when he has to go to sleep, the man needs sleep. Okay, Leil Yom HaKippurim, I don't know how much sleep he got because they were constantly keeping him awake, but the rest of the year, he got some sleep. Every human being has to have sleep. And when you go to sleep, you don't wear the tzitz. I will explain that why. Because if you sleep, then there's what's called hesech hadas. You know, you're not able to focus your intention on the kedusha, on the sanctity of the tzitz. You have to take off the tzitz when you go to sleep. So here are the many points during the day when the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz. So how can you read the pasuk that says, V'hayal mitzcho tamid, and interpret the word tamid to mean that it's constantly on his metzach? It cannot be. You cannot possibly imagine that the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz 24/7. So therefore, Ella, what am I going to do with the word tzitz? I'm sorry, with the word tamid. The answer is tamid meratzahu. That the tamid is not to be interpreted as the continuation of the pasuk, which is tamid when it's al mitzcho, but rather we make a comma, so to speak, and a wedge, and we separate between Vayal Mitzcho and the word Tamid. And the word Tamid now should be attached to the end of the pasuk, which says Tamid L'Ratzon Lifnei Hashem. That the tzitz is always Maratza Lifnei Hashem, even if it's not being worn by the Kohen Gadol. So basically, Rabbi Shimon isolates periods of time during the course of the day when the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz. And now the Torah is saying V'hoya Al Mitzcho, which means that the Kohen Gadol should wear it whenever he can, but when he's not wearing it, then Tamid L'Ratzon Lifnei Hashem. That despite the fact that he's not wearing it, the tzitz, in and of itself, inherent in the tzitz, has the power to be Meratza, a carbon that's brought Petumah. And perhaps, we could suggest that the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, again, leaving the psukim on the side for a moment, is, what is the power of Ritzui with regard to Tzitz? Is it really the Kohen Gadol who's being Maratza? As the Pasuk says, V'nasa Aaron es Avon HaKodshim. Just that there's a condition that Aaron, as the Kohen Gadol, can only effectuate Ritzui if and when he's wearing the Tzitz. Or is there an inherent power in the tzitz as a chefza that it itself could generate a ritzui karbon? Rabbi Yehuda understands that the tzitz is only a condition that sort of activates the Kohen Gadol, but the Kohen Gadol himself has within him the power of ritzui for avon hakodshim. Oh, then the Kohen Gadol has to be wearing the tzitz, and if there are certain moments in time when the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz, or alternatively the Kohen Gadol hangs up the tzitz on a peg, then the Kohen Gadol is without the tzitz, he doesn't have the power of the Kohen Gadol to generate ritzui for avon kodesh. But Reb Shimon understood that it's not the Kohen Gadol, it's the tzitz itself that has that power, and therefore even when the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz will generate a ritzui on a korban bitum. Now here, I want to share with you the insight of the Achronim. I mean, there's a whole list here that I could mention. I'll just passing by the Besamim Rosh and the Maratz Chayos and the Or Sameach, and especially the Or Sameach becomes very outspoken on this. But all the Achronim come up with this same question. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin on Daf Chaf Aleph that a melech, a king, has to have a Sefer Torah with him constantly. However, he cannot take the Sefer Torah into the Beis HaKiseh. Now, you and I would have said, okay, I can't take a Sefer Torah to the Beis HaKiseh. That's clear. That would be in violation of desecration of the Kedushas HaSefer. But yet, the Gemara feels compelled to prove this and derive this halachic conclusion and principle from a pasuk. Shenemar, the Gemara says, a pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, it says, Vaisa imo v'karabo kol yimei chayav. Meaning, the Sefer Torah accompanies, it's being held by the Melech, so that he could read it, kol ayomim, kol yimei chayav. Says the Gemara, kol yimei chayav v'kara imo, Eino notel es a sefer Torah imo letope sakeses, kevan sheino roi lekriya. We cannot read, or be maharer for that man. He can't think about Torah in a bathroom. So that if the pasuk says, v'hoisa imo, why? Because v'kara bo kol yimei chayav, the Torah is clearly indicating that the obligation of the melech to take the Sefer Torah with him is so that he could be reading the Sefer Torah. But if he enters into a bathroom, he cannot read from the Sefer Torah, because also lahar b'divrei Torah b'beis hakiseh, and therefore he cannot and will not take the Sefer into the bathroom. So all the achronim will put the Or Sameach at the head of the pack. They're all up in arms, because you see from this Gemara that only because of the interdependence of Vahaya Imo with Vakarabo, that's why he doesn't take the Sefer Torah into the Beis HaKiseh. But if not for that pasuk, which, as we said before, makes these two issues combined and dependent one on the other, namely that the mitzvah of the melech to carry around the Sefer Torah is for the purpose of reading the Sefer Torah, hence, if he enters into the Beis HaKiseh and he hasn't the possibility of reading from the Sefer Torah, therefore he leaves the Sefer Torah outside the Beis HaKiseh, if not for that drasha, then eino chinami, if the Torah commands the melech to take the Sefer wherever he goes, he would take it into a Beis HaKiseh. The only problem is he can't learn and read from the Sefer Torah in the Beis HaKiseh, and therefore he doesn't bring it in. But if not for that, he would bring it in. Now the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz. How do I know that the Kohen Gadol has to take off the tzitz before he goes into Beis HaKiseh? In the case of Melech, we derive from the fact that it says V'karabo kol yimei chayav. But in tzitz, we don't have a pasuk V'karabo kol yimei chayav, because we don't read the tzitz. It's not a sefer. So then, therefore, the status of a tzitz vis-a-vis entering into the Beis HaKiseh should be exactly identical with the Melech, if not for the pasuk of V'kara imo Karabo kol yimei chayav. because tzitz doesn't have the makarabo kol yimei chayev. Furthermore, the Arsamech is bothered. Why does Gemara assume you can't sleep with the tzitz? The Gemara later is going to set up an equation, an analogy between the tzitz and tefillin. Says the Arsameach, check out the sugya in Sukkah. The sugya in Sukkah says that you don't sleep with tefillin on. Why? Because the Rabbanon were afraid that if you sleep with tefillin on, Shem yafiach bahem, inadvertently he'll pass air. But that's only a drabanon. On a Doraisa level, a person should be wearing tefillin even bebeis hakise. Even when he sleeps. In fact, the Gemara establishes in Sukkah that if he sleeps a shenas aroy, a very short, you know, cat nap, then he doesn't take off his tefillin, because there's no chashash shem yafiach. Why then does the Gemara assume that in the case of tzitz, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to sleep, and that's a doraisa halacha, with the tzitz? Why should it be any different than tefillin, which the Gemara in about five lines is going to establish an analogy between the tzitz and tefillin? In the case of tefillin, there's no issur sleeping with tefillin, at least not on a doraisa level. And even midrabbanan, it's only a shenas keva because shem yafiach bahem. So in order to answer these questions, the Arsameach comes up with a breakthrough. And he says the following. What the Gemara wants to establish and prove is that you cannot interpret the word tamid the way that Rabbi Yehuda would like us and entice us to interpret the word tamid, meaning that the Kohen Gadol has to wear the tzitz and activate it because he's got to wear a tamid. No. That's impossible. Why? Because when he goes into Beis HaKiseh, or he sleeps, although it's true, I grant you, that he's allowed to wear the tzitz, but there's no way that the tzitz could be maratza when he's in the Beis HaKiseh or when he's sleeping. Because in those two scenarios, those two situations, there's no doubt that the Kohen Gadol is Mesiach Das. He discontinues his mental connection with the tzitz. He's not allowed to be connected to the tzitz mentally while he's doing what he's doing in a Beis HaKiseh, or while he's sleeping, he doesn't have the capacity to be thinking about the tzitz. And therefore, let's challenge Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is saying tamid means that the tzitz always has to be on his metzach. And why? L'ratzon lifnei Hashem, in order to generate a ritzui karbon. Well, I got news for you. There's no way that the word tamid could possibly tolerate that interpretation, that he's constantly wearing the tzitz and generating a ritzu. Because the Kohen Gadol uses the tzitz, which he's wearing, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to generate a ritzu, but that's only if he's wearing the tzitz. I don't mean physically wearing the tzitz, but I mean he's connected to the tzitz, mentally and emotionally. But certain moments in time, you have to admit, Rabbi Yehuda, he's not connected mentally to the tzitz. He cannot be thinking about the tzitz and its special kedusha because he's in a situation where he cannot possibly do so. And therefore, says Rav Meir Simcha, I understand that when a Kohen Gadol wakes up from his sleep, the Gemara establishes that he cannot do avoda until he does a kiddush yodayim v'raglayim. He's got to go back to the Kiyar, and he's got to be Makadesh, his Yodayim V'raglayim. And why is that? And the answer is because he was Mesiach Das when he went into the Beis HaKiseh, or when he was sleeping. And he was in a situation where he couldn't possibly be doing the Avoda, Hence, he needs a new kiddush because there's a hefsek. Let's say in the morning he wakes up to Kohen and he does kiddush yadai raglayim. That's going to last him up until the moment when he's no longer suitable or fit for the avoda. And that happens exactly when he goes into the Beis HaKiseh or when he sleeps. And therefore he needs a new kiddush yadai raglayim. So basically, during those moments of time when the Kohen Gadol is sleeping, he's more or less like a zar. He's like a non-Kohen because he doesn't have any possibility of doing the avoda. He's completely cut off from the avoda. And therefore, it would be similar when the Kohen Gadol sleeps to a situation where a zar is wearing a tzitz on his metzah. Chas v'sholom that a zar should do it, but the Kohen Gadol has like a quasi-zar status because he's completely excluded from the avoda. So when he's wearing the tzitz, there's no way, no how that the tzitz could be maratza. So what does the pasuk mean, tamid l'ratzon lifnei Hashem? And the answer has to be, says Rav Shimon, that you put a comma after the word tamid, and what it means is that the Kohen Gadol should wear the tzitz constantly as long as he can, whenever he's allowed to wear the tzitz. But the tzitz is now described as tamid l'ratzon lifnei Hashem. So once again, let's just summarize. Rabbi Yehuda reads the pasuk, v'ahoya al mitzcho tamid, and then l'ratzon lifnei Hashem. Which means that the tzitz can only be maratza l'ratzon lifnei Hashem when he, the Kohen Gadol, is wearing the tzitz. Comes along Rav Shimon, he says, no. It's impossible, grant me, Rabbi Yehuda, to interpret the word tamid as referring to the Kohen Gadol wearing the tzitz tamid. Because when he sleeps, he doesn't wear the tzitz. And even if he does wear the tzitz when he sleeps, he has a hesek hadas, he's disconnected from the tzitz. And therefore, he's not royal avod. When he wakes up, he'll have to do a kiddush yadayim raglayim. And there's no way, therefore, that the tzitz could be maratza. So how can you tell me that the word tamid is referring to the end of the pasuk? I'm sorry, that the word tamid, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is referring to the beginning of the pasuk, which means the Kohen Gadol is wearing a tamid and always activating the power inherent in the tzitz. That's impossible. Because there are going to be large chunks of the day when he's meisiach das from the tzitz, and therefore he cannot possibly activate the tzitz to be maratza. So therefore, we have no choice but to reinterpret the word tamid. And the word tamid is now not describing the Kohen Gadol who's wearing the tzitz tamid, but rather the tzitz itself is tamid l'ratzon lifnei Hashem. We take the word tamid, says Rabbi Shimon, and we attach it to the end of the pasuk, l'ratzon lifnei Hashem, and there's a power inherent in the tzitz constantly, whether it's being worn by the Kohen Gadol or he hangs it up on a peg to be maratza on the curb. This is the Or Sameach. Now, if you want to hear any other insights of the Or Sameach, you have to tune in on Fridays at 10:30 a.m., because that's when I learned the Or Sameach on the parasha. In any event, having given you that advertisement, the Gemara proves that the Kohen Gadol does not have to wear the tzitz constantly, 24-7, because he goes into the Beis HaKiseh, or he sleeps, and he doesn't wear his tzitz. Again, according to the Or Sameach, he may be physically wearing his tzitz, but he's not considered wearing the tzitz. He's a zar. He's not connected to the avoda. Now, what that means is that barring these two periods of time, when he sleeps or when he goes into the washroom, he's always wearing the tzitz. So Rabbeinu Tam derives from this a conclusion that the Kohen Gadol is allowed to wear the tzitz even outside the Beis HaMikdash. The only time the Gemara says he's not wearing and it's not tamid is when he's in a Beis HaKiseh or in a Beis HaMerchatz or he's sleeping. Other than that, he's constantly wearing the tzitz. And that means even if he's outside of the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, the Kohen Gadol did not spend 24 hours a day in the Beis HaMikdash and the confines of the Mikdash. He left the Mikdash. He was not jailed in the Mikdash. So Rabbeinu Tam proves it from our Gemara that the tzitz can be worn by the Kohen Gadol even outside the confines of the Beis HaMikdash, as long as he's not wearing the tzitz when he sleeps or when he goes into the wash. Says the Ritva, I don't buy Rabbeinu Tam. I don't think he has any proof from our Gemara. The Gemara says that it's impossible to assume that the Kohen Gadol is constantly, every hour, every moment, wearing the tzitz, because at certain moments, for sure, he cannot wear the tzitz. But in truth, he's not allowed to wear the tzitz outside the Beis HaMikdash. He's not allowed to go out with the tzitz from the confines of the Mikdash. Even inside the Beis HaMikdash, he's not allowed to wear the tzitz every moment, because there are moments when he enters into the Beis HaKiseh and he's not allowed to wear the tzitz. That's even within the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, or when he sleeps. And therefore, it's very possible that he's not allowed to wear the tzitz outside the Mikdash. The Gemara is only pointing out that even when he's in the Beis HaMikdash, he won't be wearing the tzitz 24/7. So now the Gemara shoots the ball into the court of Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Shimon has proven that it's impossible to interpret the word Tamid the way Rabbi Yehuda would like us to interpret, but rather the word Tamid should be attached to the Ratzon Lifnei Hashem, and the tzitz is always Maratza, even though the Kohen Gadol during certain times cannot be wearing the tzitz. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Nami Haksiv Tamid. What is Rabbi Yehuda going to do with the word Tamid L'Ratzon Lifnei Hashem? So Gemara says, Shelo Yasiach Daito Mimeno. The word Tamid tells you that whenever the Kohen Gadol has the possibility, and therefore is obligated to wear the tzitz, he's got to be focused and connected with the tzitz. He's got to be thinking constantly about the Kedushas HaTzitz, the Shem HaMafarish that was inscribed on the tzitz, and he cannot be Mesiach Das, he cannot disconnect himself from that thought. And how does a Kohen Gadol achieve that goal? I mean, is it really humanly possible that every moment the Kohen Gadol is thinking about the tzitz? And the answer is, Kidarabba Barav Huna. If we accept the ruling and the principle of Rabba, then we understand how the Kohen Gadol is going to avoid Hesech Hadas from the tzitz. The Omar Rabba Barav Huna, Chayav Odom Lemashmesh Betfilov Bechol Shah Vishah. He always has to have his hand on the tefillin. Now notice, he uses the plural tefillov to include what? Tefillin shayad as well. So when a person wears tefillin, and we're going to derive this, Rabbi's going to derive this from a kal vachomer from tzitz, he's constantly being memashmesh betefillov. And by doing so, he's constantly connected mentally with the tefillin. He's not mesiach das from tefillin. Now, before we move from the spot and analyze the kal vachomer of Rabbah deriving the halacha of tzitz from a kal vachomer from tefillin, and if in tzitz, he's not allowed to be mesiach das from the tzitz, he's always got to be connected mentally to the tzitz, then how much more so in the case of tefillin, that a person can never ever be disconnected from the thoughts about the tefillin? But I don't understand one thing. Rabbah gives me a practical method of guaranteeing that I won't be mesiach das from my tefillin. Chayev adam lamashmesh betefillin b'chol shah. And presumably, the action of a person will stimulate his mind so that when he's being mamashmesh betfilov, then it'll certainly remind him of the tefillin, and he'll think about the tefillin, and he won't be mesiach das from the tefillin. But in the case of tzitz, I'm back to square one. How do I understand that the Kohen Gadol is always connected mentally to the tzitz, and there's not a moment of Hesech Hadas where he disconnects his thought process with the tzitz? There's no halacha of chayiv hanu lemashmesh betzitz kol shah. So in order to answer this question, we're going to have to ask another question. And I'm just going to throw out the question now. I'm not sure if we're ready now to answer this question, but what is the nature of Hesek Hadas? Two possibilities. One is to say, when a person, let's take the Kohen Gadol, would think about thoughts that are antithetical to the tzitz, to Kedusha. He's thinking about divrei hololus, you know, something that's frivolous and insignificant. Then he violates this obligation of constant, perpetual das. He now has a hesek hadas because he's thinking about something that is antithetical to Kedushas tefillin. Another definition is, no, that's not enough. Don't tell me that he's not thinking divrei hololus, things that are, as we said before, are antithetical to Kedushas tefillin. I need, in a positive sense, that constantly he's aware of his tefillin. And the nafkamina is going to be if he has momentary lapses and pauses where he's not thinking divrei hololus, he's not thinking negative thoughts that would undermine his kedushas tzitz, but on the other hand, he's not thinking about the tzitz. Let's say he had a shver Rambam. He was thinking about the Rambam and trying to figure out an answer to the Rambam. He's not thinking about the tzitz, but he's not thinking about some fake news from, you know, Arut Sheva that makes him laugh. In any event, getting back to the Gemara of Rabba Bar Rav Huna, how does Rabba Bar Rav Huna derive the conclusion that in the case of Tefillin, he's also Be'esek Hadas, he constantly has to be aware of his Tefillin, and therefore, Chayav Adam L'mashmesh B'Tefil of Kol Shah. He derives it from Tzitz. I don't know that you can set up a Kal V'Chomer from Tzitz to Tefillin. If you ask me which is more Chomer, my reaction would have been Tzitz is more Chomer. It's worn by the Kohen Gadol. It generates a Ritzui on Karva Bituma. And on top of that, the Shem Hashem is written begolui. You know, everybody could see the name of God on the tzitz. But the Gemara says just the opposite. And here we turn to the Avches Amidav. Umat tzitz she'en bo elaz kara achas. How many times is the name of God inscribed on the tzitz? Only once. And yet, Amr Torah al Mitzcho Tamid, and the word Tamid, according to Rabbi Yehuda, means that he has to have Das, he has to be connected to the Tzitz Tamid, without any Hesek HaDas. Shalo Yasiach Daito Mimenu, is Tefillin Sheyesh Bahem, as Koros Harbe. The Rambam actually calculates how many times the word Avaya, the name of Hashem, appears in Tefillin, in the four parashiyos of Shema, Vayim Shemoah, Kaddish, and Voyeki V'yachi comes up with a number 21 times. Is Alachas Kama V'kama? If the name of God is inscribed in the Tefillin 21 times, Keneged the one time that it's on the Metzach, on the Tzitz, then if in regard to Tzitz is Lo Yasiach Daito Mimeno, how much more so in Tefillin Lo Yasiach Daito Mimeno? So both are just on the side of Musavar for us to take home today. That when we wear the tefillin, we have to realize we're wearing something that's, in a sense, greater in Kedusha, supersedes the tzitz itself. Because we're wearing 21 azkaros of the Shem Hashem, and how much more so do we have to be very careful not to be meisiach das from the tefillin. And if the best way to guarantee that is to be mamash mish b'tefillin b'chol shah, then that's what we have to do. Now, the poskim say that a person is not holding his tefillin, you know, for 20, you know, for all the hours that he's wearing tefillin. I want you to know, my father told me about his grandfather, that's his maternal grandfather, my great-grandfather, Rabbi Yitzhak Sorkin. that my father can't remember once seeing him without tefillin. And my father was very close to his grandfather. It was a very special relationship. He left his grandfather at the age of 12, but all of my father's life was just built on those 12 years that he spent with his grandfather. And now my grandchildren are learning here in yeshiva in the old city, and they're wearing tefillin 24/7 almost, the whole day. You know, history repeats itself. It's really interesting. But to be mamashmish b'tefillin, kol shah. So the poskim say that kol shah means within every significant interval, he should be mamashmish b'tefillin. And hopefully, that action will remind him of the tefillin constantly. It doesn't mean that he has to hold his tefillin and move him around, you know, for every moment that the tefillin are on his head or on his arm. But if he's constantly connected to be mamashmesh, and every 15 minutes or whatever it is, it's a very subjective kind of thing. Each person has to evaluate how often he has to be mamashmesh with tefillin to make sure that he's constantly aware of the tefillin. But this is a derivation from tzitz, because if in tzitz lo yaseach daito, how much more so in the case of tefillin? Now you'll notice on the top of Ches Amud Aleph there's a Tosis Divrei HaMashchil Uma, and I want to give you a little bit of a summary of that Tosis. Tosis says that this Kal V'Chomer is very, very vulnerable. It's very iffy because there's a pircha against the Kal V'Chomer, and that pircha is that although the tzitz has only one azkar, but that azkar is begilui, everyone could see it. The tefillin are covered by R, the R of tefillin. You can't look at tefillin and see the name of God. Not even once, because all the 21 askaras of Shem Hashem, Yudke, Vavke, and tefillin are all concealed, and the mechupa be'ar ha-tefillin. So what kind of Kal V'Chomer is this? It could be that the one askara, the one name of God in tzitz, has a greater kedusha and supersedes all the 21 shemos that are connected, combined together of the tefillin, because those are all concealed. And the greatest kedusha is something that's accessible, that's obvious, that's apparent, and can be seen by anyone. And he says that you might answer that the Shem Hashem is begilui, because there's a shin that's inscribed on the tefillin shel Rosh. He says that's only a shin. That's only one of three letters of God's name. He says, but in the ritzuos of the tefillin, we add another two letters, and we have the ritzuos going around and around with a dalid and a yud. And if you're a chabadnik, or nusach ari, what we call, then you have a shin up on top of the arm, in the ritzuos of the tefillin shel yad, so you end up with all three letters that are exposed in the tefillin shel yad, because tefillin shel yad is, I shouldn't say it's exposed, but it could be exposed. So he says the following, that the truth is that only the shin, which is derived from Aloch L'Moshe Misinai, is b'ksav, is written. The ritzuos, which remind us of the other letters of the name of Hashem, those are only kishrei ritzuos, but enom ksav gomur. So that kedushas Hashem, on the highest level, is a ksav gomur. And that only exists in the case of tzitz, but not in the case of tefillin. So Tosis answers that we made a mistake. We took the Gemara literally, and this is a technical Kal V'Chomer that fits the requirements of all Kal V'Chomer. No. Ein ze Kal V'Chomer gomer. This is not a real bona fide Kal V'Chomer. Ella, but rather, Omer Rabba Barahuna, mikevon sheyesh betfilin chumra zu, although, again, this chumra of the 21 askaros is concealed and not revealed, so that it's not as great as the tzitz, but nevertheless it has a chumrah. You can't deny the mitzvah, the reality that there are 21 askaros in tefillin. It's therefore, Rabba says, mistaber, it's logical that just like in the case of tzitz, a person has to, in this case of Kohen Gadol, has to be constantly connected and aware of his tzitz, so too a person who's wearing tefillin, he has to be mamashish ben b'chol shah, as we said, at intervals, very frequent intervals, he has to be mamashmesh b'tefillin, kidei shalo yasiach das mehem. So this is the sheet of Tosfos, that this Kal Vachomer in our Gemara cannot be taken literally. And the halacha that also li'odom la'asiyach da'itim in a tefillin is really a rabbinic invention. It's only a drabbanon. Whereas in tzitz, the pasuk says tamid. And that generates a din d'oraisa. And an iser hesech hadas regarding the tzitz. But with regard to tefillin, drabbanon had a kind of Kal Vachomer, not a real Kal Vachomer, that would generate a conclusion that's d'oraisa, that certainly in the case of tefillin, a person should not be meisiach das, hence Rabbah obligates us to, on a more or less constant, regular basis, to be mamashmish b'tefillin. That's the shita of Tosfos. However, much later than Tosfos, in our contemporary Jewish history, we have the Chassam Sofer, who was, as you know, about 150 years ago, the great giant of Hungarian Jewry. He was in a city called Prezburg. It was not a particularly Hasidish city. It was Nusach Ashkenaz. And for those of you familiar with Katamon, we have there the Erloi Hasidim. They come from the Chassam Sofer, and they daven Nusach Ashkenaz. Even though they look like Hasidim, but they're not really Hasidim. They are Hasidim of the Chassam Sofer. In any event, he says the following. He believes that this Kal Vachomer is Doraisa, and the prohibition in joining us from Hesech Hadas and Tefillin is derived from Tzitz, as a full-fledged Din Doraisa. How is that so? He says the following. And he quotes also the Malbim, who says the same thing. That it's true, while it's true that the parshios of Tefillin with the Shemos on them are mechupos bi'or, are covered and are concealed inside the Tefillin, he says that Ein Lomar, he says, that's not in any way a mitigating circumstance that puts the Shemos of Tefillin on, so to speak, a lower level. He says that's the way the Torah commands us to create a pair of Tefillin. And when you're talking about how a person should wear something, so in the case of tzitz, he has to wear the Shem Hashem b'gilui. But when it comes to tefillin, a person has to wear the tefillin in the ar, mechupos b'ar, the batim, and so forth and so on. But don't, for one moment, allow yourself the thought to cross your mind that the shemos are mechupos b'ar. That concept of mechupos bi'or is borrowed from a different area, a different discipline in halacha that has nothing to do with tefillin. And that's the law of chatzitza. That when you have something that's concealed, it wedges between that object and what's beyond it. So for example, if I have a chatzitza on my body when I go into the mikvah, then my body is separated from the mayim, from the main mikvah, by this chatzitza. He says, you should never understand that the chipui bi'ar, the covering of tefillin, is a chatzitza. That in a sense conceals the tefillin the way a chatzitza normally conceals the body. Because the Torah says that the shemos of Hashem and all the parashios should be written on a cloth and should be contained in the bottom of tefillin. And that's the way the Torah envisions the Shemos and the Parshios of Tefillin. That's not a chipui bi'or that's external, that's being added on the outside, and that might serve as a chatzita. As far as the halach is concerned, the Shemos of Hashem are really begolui, the Chaf Aleph Shemos of Hashem. You may not see them physically, but al-pidin, they're just like begolui, because there's nothing really covering them as a chatzitza that wedges between our exposure and our revelation, you know, that which is revealed, and the Shemos themselves. The bottom line is that although Tosus insists that this is not a full-fledged Kal Vachomer, not everybody buys into that opinion. Now, as far as my question of before, we don't find mishmush in the case of tzitz. Nowhere do we find that the Kohen Gadol is obligated to be mashmish the tzitz. The Birchas Peretz, in his commentary on Parshas Tetzaveh, says that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be mamashmish b'tzitz for a technical reason, and that is that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to lift his arms up above the tzitz. So if we would require him to be mamashmish, he would be violating that prohibition by putting his hands above the tzitz. And he says that in the Beis HaMikdash, there was Mora Migdash. They were in a state of reverence, of awe. And therefore, Ein Chashash HaKohen Gadol Yasiach Dato Me'atzitz. And this again supports the view of the Ritva that we mentioned earlier, that the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear the tzitz outside the confines of the Migdash. So there's something called Mora Migdash, and we don't need Mishmush. In the case of Tefillin, we're outside the Migdash, and therefore we might very well be distracted and forget about the tefillin. So we need the mishmush kol shah as a maisa that we remind our minds to be connected with the tefillin. But in the case it sits, we don't need the mamashmesh. The Kohen Gadol will certainly be overwhelmed, so to speak, by that state of being in the migdash of Mora Migdash. And therefore, we can assume that even without Mishmush, he will be constantly connected to the Tzitz. And he's not allowed to be Mesiach Das. That's how Rabbi Yehuda learns one word of the Torah, Tomid. Ul Rab Shimon di Omar Tomid Miratza. Rab Shimon, on the other hand, interpreted the word Tomid as Tomid L'Ratzon Lifnei Hashem, to teach us that the Tzitz is Miratza, even if the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the Tzitz, he hung it up on a peg. Is then, the Gemara asks, V'hok Siv, what is he going to do with the pasuk that says, V'hoya al metach Aaron, v'nosa Aaron es avona kodshim? And the implication is that if and when the metach Aaron is carrying the tzitz, then there will be a ritzui of kodshim in a case of tumah. Says Rav Shimon, that pasuk is ahu likvolo makom hudiyos. So the Torah is only telling you where the Kohen Gadol should wear the tzitz. I mean, if the Torah didn't tell me that it's al mitzcha, we wouldn't know that he has to put the tzitz on his forehead. So the Gemara now sends the ball back into the court of Rav Yehuda. V'Rav Yehuda likvolo makom minole. Rav Yehuda, who uses the pasuk v'haya al metach aron v'nasa, to teach me that the Kohen Gadol constantly has to wear the tzitz in order for the tzitz to have the power of ritzui. How does he know where the Kohen Gadol should wear his tefillin? Where? Those are two separate words, right? So the Gemara says, Nafkaleh, he derives it from the next part of the pasuk. The pasuk says, Mivahoy al mitzcho tomit. That it says, al mitzcho. So obviously he has to wear it on his metzach. And what it says in the early part of the pasuk, V'hoy al metzach aron v'nasa, that's telling me that if and when the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz in its proper place on his metzach, then and only then is it meratz. Now the ball is in Rav Shimon's court. For Rav Shimon, nami tepekle mi al mitzcho. If we have the second part of the pasuk that says al mitzcho, we already derive that the makom of the tzitz is al mitzcho. So why do I need the first part of the pasuk to tell me that v'hoya al mitzcho, if I already derive that from the end of the pasuk, which says al mitzcho? So Gemara answers, Enochi nami. Even according to Rav Shimon, we could derive the halacha of kviyas makom atzitz from what it says v'hoya al mitzcho tomid. Ella, now you go back to the question, so what does it mean when it says v'hoya al mitzcho al metzach aron v'nasa? Which implies, like Rabbi Yehuda understood it, that only when he's wearing it, then it could be maratza, but not if it's hanging off his head on a peg. My ovile, what's he going to do with that pasuk? V'hoya al metzach aron v'nasa. Amalecha ro'i lemetzach. The Torah is adding a precondition that although the tzitz, according to Rav Shimon, has an inherent power to be maratza, even if it's not worn by the Kohen Gadol, but we need ro'i. It's got to be a tzitz that could be worn on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol. And what's that coming to exclude? Eino ro'i lemetzach, eino maratza lafuke, nishbar tzitz de lo maratza. That a tzitz has the inherent power to be maratza, generate ritzui, but only if it's ro'i lemetzach, HaKohen Gadol, which means that if it's broken and the Kohen Gadol therefore cannot be lovish, he cannot wear the tzitz, it's not maratz. Now the ball is in Rabbi Yehuda's court. Well, Rabbi Yehuda nishbar tzitz minole. How does Rabbi Yehuda know that nishbar tzitz is not maratz? Now here we have a tricky Rashi has to add a little bit of a move here, because wait a minute, Rabbi Yehuda holds that tzitz is only maratza when it's worn by the Kohen Gadol. Obviously, if it's nishbar, the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz. So why does Gemara ask the question addressed to Rabbi Yehuda and say, well, how do you know, Rabbi Yehuda, from whence you derive that nishbar tzitz is not maratza? I mean, if it's nishbar tzitz, it's not being worn by the Kohen Gadol. So the interpretation here is that if there's no other pasuk to teach me that nishbar tzitz ainu maratza, then I would take the pasuk al metzach, and I would interpret it as telling me that it's got to be roi lemetzach, as opposed to the exclusion of a case of nishbar tzitz. I would not have a source to derive the conclusion that if the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz, it's not maratza. So therefore the Gemara insists that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we need two yalfusos. We have to have one yalfusa to teach me that we exclude a tzitz, which is nishbar, and once I know that, then I go back to the pasuk of al metzach, and I assume that the tzitz, the Torah is telling me that if the tzitz is al metzach, then it could be maratza, but not if it's off his metzach. So the Gemara answers, nafkalei mi metzach mitzcho. There's an extra vav in the pasuk mitzcho. It could have said mi metzach metzach. Why does it have to say mi metzach mitzcho? So the extra vav is teaching us that the tzitz has to be royal in mitzcho, to the exclusion, to the disqualification of a tzitz that's nishbar. And now we have the extra pasuk of al metzach to teach me that the tzitz is only maratza when it's al metzach. Rabbi Shimon, who derived nishbar tzitz ain't a maratza from that which it said royal metzach aron. Why didn't he derive it like Rabbi Yehuda did from the extra vav? And the answer is metzach mitzcho lo mashmale. He doesn't darshan the extra vav of mitzcho. He thinks that that's the normal way you would speak about the tzitz that's on the metzach of the Kohen Gadol. So the extra vav in the possessive, al mitzcho, is something that could be understood al pipshuto without necessitating a drasha as a superfluous letter. Now here I want to share with you, I know we're running out of time, one last insight, and this is that of the Rashash, who has a super commentary in the back of the Gemaras. And he says the following, that dafka nishbar atzitz, she'eno roi, she'en atzitz roi lemetach, machmas chisorin b'tzitz eino maratz. But let's say that it's not a case of nishbar atzitz, but there's something else that makes it impossible for the Kohen Gadol to wear the tzitz. For example, on Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh Kedoshim, and he's not wearing the tzitz. He has to wear Big Day Lavan, and he has to leave out the tzitz. So right now, the tzitz, as long as the Kohen Gadol is in the Kodesh Kedoshim, is not Roy LeMetzach Kohen Gadol. And yet we know for sure that the tzitz is Maratzal Tuma, Korban B'Tuma, even when the Kohen Gadol enters into the Kodesh Kedoshim. So why not derive the conclusion, the opposite of Agamara, that it sits as Maratza, even if it's a Noroi Lemetzach? Says the Rashash, a Noroi Lemetzach means that there's something physical, a deficiency inherent in the tzitz, that makes it impossible for it to be worn on the Metzach. It's broken. But in a case where the tzitz in and of itself is Roi Lemetzach, just that the Kohen Gadol makes it a Noroi Lemetzach, because he can't wear it when he goes lifnai v'lifnim, that's not considered eino rotz. And then he writes, the af sheino roi l'koin gadol b'yosa shah, ulam roi hu l'koin mashuach melchama. Very sharp answer. There are two kohanim that wore a tzitz. One is the Kohen Gadol, with a capital Chaf and a capital Gimel. And then there's somebody called the koach mashuach melchama. He's like second in command. He was anointed to serve as a Kohen Mashuach Melchama when the soldiers of Israel went out to battle. It was his job to supervise them and give them a whole Kriyas HaParsha and so forth and so on. Not only that, the Gemara tells us later on in Masechta Yoma that if need be, and we don't have the Kohen Gadol available to be Shoel Biurim V'tumim, the Kohen Mashuach Melchama can fill that job. Now, if the Kohen Gadol is not available to be shoel for the Urim V'tumim, and the second string, the fallback position, is the Kohen Mashuach Melchama, then in order for the Kohen Mashuach Melchama to have the ability to ask a question and get an answer from the Urim V'tumim, he has to wear Shmona Begadim. He has to wear the Big Day Kohen Gadol, which means he's going to be wearing a tzitz. So even if the Kohen Gadol himself, when he enters on Yom HaKippurim to the Kodesh Kedoshim, is the tzitzis ain't a roi le Kohen Gadol, but it's roi for the Kohen Mashuach Melchama. That's the answer of the Rashash. Very, very sharp.